Okay, everybody, welcome back once again to Tech Gumbo. I'm Haggai Davis II, along with Haggai Davis III, and we'd like to welcome you to Tech Gumbo. Here on our show, we like to talk about the past, present, and future of all things technology in a topical, interesting, and digestible way. Without geek speak or a bunch of acronyms, we just want to talk about technology that's important to us and important to you.
We also want to thank Cardinal Capital. To business owners and CEOs, hopefully you have a good relationship with your lender. Even if you do, sometimes you face other challenges, such as a need to consolidate debt, a want to level out your cash flow, or a desire to buy new equipment because you're in growth mode. If this describes you, give Cardinal Capital a call, whatever your need or challenge. They have over 4,000 lenders where they source commercial capital for business clients. Chris, Gary, and Rob at Cardinal Capital have a passion for business, and they want you to succeed. When you meet with Cardinal Capital, they get to know you and your business, so they can present your needs to a lending institution that will best fit your unique situation. In short, they go after money for your business. They translate your business into what's important for lenders, and they are good at it. Depending upon what the deal is, no matter how complicated or straightforward, they will help maximize your profitability while setting your business up for success. They find the best solution for your situation, all while being fun and easy to deal with. For more detailed information, visit their website at cardinalcap.net. You can also call them 225-308-3700 or email them info@cardinalcap.net.
Okay, Mr. Davis, let's have ourselves another one of these big old helpings of Tech Gumbo today.
Sounds wonderful.
As we always like to do, starting off with the news and updates, we'll get back kind of into that Section 230 law that has to do with social media, because the Supreme Court justices heard oral arguments about the states of Texas and Florida and the social media laws they have passed.
So both Texas and Florida passed laws. They were very frustrated that the social media companies were taking down posts that those states argued were conservative leaning, and that they argued that these platforms were censoring conservative viewpoints, and that they passed a law saying that this was not allowed to happen.
So this is going to be another one of those First Amendment cases. It has all kind of implications on free speech, and we certainly are not attorneys, as we have said many times, nor do we play one on the radio. We're just kind of reading what's happening in the newspapers, and the idea that these Supreme Court justices are looking at this and saying, wait a minute, I'm not quite so sure this really passes muster.
And so the key distinction here is that it was a question from Justice Alito. He was asking a tech group to define the term content moderation, because that's really what's at the core here, is this content moderation the platforms are doing. He asked whether the term was anything more than a euphemism for censorship. And the person responded that if the government was doing it, then that might be a euphemism for censorship. But if a private party is doing it, then it's a euphemism for editorial discretion. And editorial discretion is something that we afford to newspapers, to magazines, to television stations, and it's going to be really hard to argue that social media platforms, which are governed under 230 and are explicitly legally structured to operate like those things, should suddenly stop operating like those things.
Well, the biggest difference, as I see it, the newspapers are who's publishing these stories, these articles, Facebook, all the social media platforms. It's the users who are publishing the stories, not the platform owners. So to me, it's not an apples to apples comparison.
Oh, I agree. I think that's a great point, that they are a platform. They are not the content creator. And ultimately, what this all comes from is that a lot of social media platforms have built AI tools to sit there and scour their platforms for hate speech, for racism, for things that they deem unacceptable. And one of the things that we've talked about on Twitter is that these companies aren't doing this because they're trying to prove a political point. They're doing this because they want it to be pleasant to be on their platform. They're trying to just turn down the temperature and that this just takes that shape. And so it's not that these platforms are really out to stick it to conservatives. It's that whenever people want to log on to Facebook, they want to see pictures of cats and babies, not who's really angry this week.
So the Supreme Court is likely to come up with a decision in sometime in June, is what the article we found stated. And we will certainly report back when that happens. But the way this reads, it looks like the Supreme Court's going to say, you got to go to Congress to get Section 230 changed.
Yeah, it's unlikely that the Supreme Court will pass sweeping rulings around this. They seem to also not want to weigh in too heavily and say that these social media platforms can't be regulated, because that creates a whole different set of issues whenever you say that they are completely immune from regulation. And so they're going to try and thread a tough needle here. And once the final verdict comes out in June, I'm sure we'll return to it then.
Moving along, a husband during the pandemic who was kind of captured in the house with his wife had a big old listening ear, and he was eavesdropping on a lot of his wife's work conversations.
Now, I'm sure this is a familiar experience for anyone who has worked at home with a partner or even just a roommate. You hear what they're doing in some of their conversations. They hear what you're doing in some of your conversations. And, you know, that just kind of was the norm for about a year, maybe a year and a half. But this one was a little different.
Yes, his wife was a mergers and acquisitions manager at BP, and he was listening to her talk about the companies that BP was interested in buying, unbeknownst to her. And so he went out and he bought stock in the companies that she was talking about that they were going to go buy, and he made a lot of money, almost $1 million because of it.
If this sounds deeply illegal, that's because it is. That guy went to jail.
So, unfortunately for Mr. Loudon of Texas, his wife, she wound up losing her job, even though she was completely exonerated by the Security and Exchange Commission that she had no knowledge that her husband was listening or that he was doing any of these things. But she did lose her job and she did divorce him. And all he wanted to do, as according to this article, he just wanted to make some money so his wife wouldn't have to work so hard.
And that is just beautiful, and it's heartwarming. But there are laws, there are rules, and just because you're too dumb to know what insider trading is does not exempt you from it.
This is just really bad on a whole lot of levels. I mean, if he's married to somebody who does mergers and acquisitions at BP, then he knows she can't talk about the companies that they're interested in. So to take advantage of that. And then the really dumb thing about this is, as soon as the sale happened, the price of the stock went up by 71%, and then he sold all of his shares immediately.
Yeah, she married a golden retriever here. Really beautiful, great to be around, but just not the smartest of creatures. And she's probably going to make sure that her next husband understands how to not screw everything up.
So in Canada, at the University of Waterloo, a college is removing vending machines because there were students who were kind of upset because the vending machine said, hey, the facial recognition app on this vending machine is not working.
Yeah, if I was, you know, there is a vending machine on my university campus that I occasionally visit. And if it suddenly said facial recognition.app.exe error, I would have a lot of questions. The first one would be, am I being pranked? But after it seemed like it was real, I would want to know, why is my vending machine at my university running facial recognition software?
So the picture in the article showed this big display screen on the middle of this vending machine, and it a lot of colors and light. And instead of just having a button that says touch here to initiate, the machine was looking for someone's face standing right in front of it. So it would now start giving different images that you could start selecting from. And while that sounds cool, okay, it's using facial recognition software to know that a person was there. And the company that made the vending machine said, hey, look, we are fully GDPR compliant. We don't keep any data. We don't transmit any data. We don't store any images.
They didn't say we don't transmit any data. They said we don't transmit any personally identifiable data. They are transmitting data. And whenever you read about how they say that they're implementing it, they say the technology acts as a motion sensor that detects faces, so the machine knows when to activate the person-to-person interface. Now you say, okay, well, we already have a lot of different ways that you can do this. Vending machines have been coin-operated for 100 years, and you can also just push the touchscreen. But then once you read a little further, they say, oh, well, only the final data was transmitted, namely the person's estimated age and estimated gender. And my vending machine does not need to guess my age or my gender. My vending machine needs to do none of those things. It does not need to know anything about me. And so this is completely ridiculous.
And a lot of these kids on this campus were using their student ID cards, which has money stored on the card, to make these purchases. So now you're tying the purchase with my name, with my picture of what I want. And this is just one more of these. I'm collecting data so we can build a profile on you.
Yes. And again, the company says that those two data streams are separate, but this is a vending machine. It's not a smart piece of technology. It would be very easy for those two streams to just cross somehow. And now all of a sudden, whenever you're sending data back, you're capturing a little bit more than you expected, and you have all of this information, which essentially ends up being private information, because people who are walking to vending machines on their university campuses probably don't want their photo taken and don't want all this information about them. And so, yeah, the university immediately pulled the plug on these and shipped them off. And this is just such a egregious oversight of technology.
Could you imagine walking past this vending machine and it sees your face, recognizes, hey, Haggai, you want to buy another soft drink? Look over here. We have candy bars now, too. That doesn't go over well.
Hey, last time you bought the Coke Zero. Do you want the Coke Zero and the Reese's this time? Oh, what do you mean, vending machine? How do you know this? There are just so many questions. And this is one of those places wherever technology does not need to be shoved.
No, it doesn't. Another Canada story we found. Air Canada has to refund a person's airfare because the AI bot gave bad information.
So this is different than the story which we talked about a few months ago. A few months ago, we talked about how some of the automotive dealers had the chatbot on their website, and people had tricked them into saying that you could buy the $70,000 pickup for $10. Obviously, the person went in knowing that they were trying to deceive the chatbot, and paying $10 for a $70,000 truck is pretty obvious that's what was happening there. This is different because the person was asking about bereavement policies.
They asked a legitimate question that he wanted to know what's his grandmother had just died and what's the policy on bereavement. I need some clarification. The chatbot said, if you travel immediately or have already traveled and would like to submit your ticket for a reduced bereavement rate, kindly do so within 90 days of your ticket and you will be completely refunded through our ticket refund application form.
That, all of a sudden, is a very different valence than the other one. The other one was, ha ha ha, this is kind of funny. If I was using this, I would think this is real. This feels very real. And this all of a sudden seems to say, oh, maybe we can start holding these chatbots liable for the things that they are telling us, especially when they have all the trappings of a serious piece of technology.
When this customer went to Air Canada's website and they had that chatbot on their website. This wasn't like they went to ChatGPT or Bard or Gemini and was just on some random LLM. No. They were on Air Canada's website and the chatbot gave them that specific information. And my guess is this guy probably did a screenshot because he had specific information to be able to give back to Air Canada. And then at first, Air Canada said, sorry, no, we're not. And then they said, well, okay, maybe here, we'll give you a $200 credit on your next flight. And then they went to small claims court and Air Canada now is having to refund $650 of this airfare.
It is important to note that this is the Canadian courts. This is not the U.S. courts. And the Canadian courts tend to have less tricks and loopholes inside of them. And so they tend to operate a little bit more at face value. Again, not a lawyer. That's purely just a vibes-based reading that I have of that. But I don't know if this is going to translate one-to-one into U.S. courts. But this is the first time that we know of someone being able to say, hey, wait a minute, your website told me something. It's not my job to know if your website is making stuff up or not. That's your job. And if you messed it up, then you need to pay me for what you said that you were going to do.
It really is one of those things where if you've got your own little chatbot on your website giving out information, you better hope this thing's given good information and only using the information you've trained it to do. Because if it's out there going rogue and just winging stuff out, you're going to get in trouble pretty quick.
And that's a lot of why we are seeing the actual slow rolling of these large language models into the business community, is that while they're really good most of the time, sometimes they just make egregious mistakes in ways that aren't obvious. And so that's one of those places wherever it has to become more reliable, it has to become more trustworthy. And that's a tough needle to thread. And so it's going to take some time before people are really willing to start having these be seriously integrated, because otherwise you end up in places like this wherever you're paying for things that you didn't have in your budget.
The last story we wanted to get to was a spacecraft, the Intuitive Machines Odysseus lunar lander, landed on the moon.
Yeah, this is super cool. It's the first time since 1972 that the U.S. has landed any sort of craft on the moon.
The problem is it didn't land perfectly. It landed and then fell on its side, or it landed on its side. We really don't know yet, but one way or another, the lander had 10 days worth of batteries, but because it's on its side, it only has 10 to 20 hours of batteries. And so it was a very expensive shot to the moon. It's not going to pay off what everyone hoped it was going to get.
It still accomplished most of its goals. This is far more about showing that you can do this. If you're only having 10 days worth of batteries, you didn't have a lot of significant missions planned for this. This wasn't revenue generating that all of a sudden you're lost out on. You obviously would have liked to stick the landing. But the fact that it didn't explode, the fact that it's not, smithereens, does show that most of it worked. But it also shows that NASA, who all of their crafts are still running years later, not just days or hours later, you really have to say, wow, their track record is stellar.
And oh, by the way, NASA's doing this on Mars, not on the moon. Mars being billions of miles away. Big, big difference.
On Mars, the helicopter stopped working recently because a Martian dust storm just overwhelmed it. You can only fight Martian dust storms for so long before your solar-based product just runs out of power. NASA lost against not only just the Earthen elements, but the Martian elements. That's a fight that you're okay losing whenever you take it 3 years to get to that point in time. You really have to stop and appreciate how incredibly powerful those engineers are, how fine their margins of error are, and how they are continuously exceeding expectations. We take it for granted that they're just going to continue to be absolutely excellent, but that should be one of the things that whenever we as Americans hang our hats on something that we're proud of, it is that the NASA program continues to be some of the best work that humanity has ever done.
So this Odysseus, they landed on the moon's south pole. They were going to try and look around, dig for some samples to see if there was actually ice there on the moon, looking for signs of water. That was its one mission, was to just be able to grab a core sample and send it home. But laying on its side, it's not going to be able to do that. But hey, for the first time ever, man has landed something at the south pole of the moon. We want to thank General Informatics for sponsoring our show. General Informatics is an information technology firm with a mission to make our clients even more successful through the best use of technology. Based in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, General Informatics is a premier IT managed service provider delivering exceptional managed IT solutions to a diverse base of customers across the southeastern United States. From the beginning, we have maintained our commitment to meeting the growing needs of our clients through continuous innovation. With over 20 years of experience and a team of 180 plus employees, including technicians, engineers, program designers, GI has evolved to become the leading IT partner of business schools and government agencies. Our managed services teams can run your digital infrastructure or support your team on an on-demand basis, letting you focus on your business strengths. This has become a proven formula, so proven that 98% of our clients continue to do business with us year after year. Whether you need IT services, new technology, or have a question, visit us on the web at geninf.com.
If you enjoyed our show today, we are here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m. and the show reruns Sundays also at 4 p.m. If you missed any part of the show or you'd like to hear this or previous episodes, check out our podcast available on almost every podcast platform, including iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, and more. When you're there, be sure to subscribe so you get notified every time we post a new episode. If you like our show or you have any suggestions, let us know on our website at www.techgumbo.net. Thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.